Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for November 26th, 2007. We got a good show today, Edge Guy.
We got a great show. We always have a great show.
If you say so. Well, I guess you got news for us, right?
I have news. You're like skipping ahead and going all fast and stuff.
Oh, sorry. Oh, by the way, the Exploding Barrel Podcast brought to you by 411 Mania.
Woo, 411 Mania.
Don't be like a little gay cheerleader.
Ouch.
But okay, you want me to go over the show?
Yeah, why don't you go down the rundown and send to our listeners.
I forgot. We start with the news and we go on to the best ever. Then we're going to talk about the games we've been playing. I haven't played Final Fantasy this week, so there won't be any Final Fantasy segment for once.
Weird.
I know, it's sad. Then we're going to go to downloadable game releases and the weekly game releases, and then that'll be the whole show.
Okay.
All right, then. Now you can go to news.
Okay. So, I'll start off with the stuff you don't like. Halo 3 Heroic Map Pack coming December 11th. There's three maps called Standoff, Rat's Nest, and Foundry.
I know, I take a little bit of an exception to the fact that they're charging people to an empty map.
Yeah, Foundry is basically just a kind of map designed to be a playground for Forge, which I was gonna say because it's 800 points, which is $10, and $10 for what I'm calling 2.5 maps when they just did two maps for Halo 2 for $4 not too long ago.
That's they can get away with it
if the price does bother you. Like the other Halo maps, they'll be free come sometime in the spring, and right around that time, the next map pack will most likely drop. They'll sell a ton of these.
I guess so.
On the PlayStation 3, we saw firmware 2.01, quickly released after a lot of bugs brought up from 2.0. The list of official changes is as follows. Stability during playing some PlayStation 3 format software has been improved, though apparently now it like fixed some problems Assassin's Creed was having, but it created more problems with Call of Duty 4. So there might be another patch.
Real quick, you hear about... The PlayStation 3 has outsold the Wii twice now in Japan, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that a little crazy?
It is. Well, they just had the price drop, which people think are... And honestly, I think by now everyone in Japan has a Wii.
You'd think that, but like, that's what I almost thought about the DS, which has been selling even better. But 1 out of 6 people in Japan have a DS right now. There's a lot more people in Japan than we think.
Yeah, I know. It's a joke.
But, I don't know. It's a little crazy. It'll be an interesting trend to follow up.
Yes. Anyway.
Did I catch you off guard?
You did. Script, I was not ready for that.
Gotta be a little bit more spontaneous.
Anyway, I'm going to continue. Stability of system software, including internet browser and information board, has been improved. Stability of the upscaler for PlayStation 2 format software has been improved. Parenthesis, playability of PlayStation 2 depends on model.
Right.
And lastly... Remote start feature is changed to avoid unintended power on, which is an out-and-out lie. Because it still just randomly turns on.
Mine's always in that. I usually just blame it on you, though, because you have a habit of just going on the PS3 and downloading trailers for no reason.
What's that have to do with anything?
That'll be you turning on the PS3 and not remembering to turn it off.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. You know how... I was talking about this last week. In the 2.0, they released that feature.
Yeah,
so
I know. I'm saying that's what I used to just blame it on.
Oh.
Was you.
Well, yeah, I did, because I was downloading stuff and left on. But now, for me at least, if I turn on this remote start thing, the PS3 just randomly turns off and on.
Back when you would come home, though, you would just go on my PS3 and just download trailers.
Because I want to download stuff.
You had, like, there's 50 trailers on there. It was ridiculous.
Well, it's like not like you're using it for anything else.
But, like, I don't even understand it. It's like you come home and, like, over the weekend...
Because you guys had the huge 1080p TV. I wanted to see the trailers.
What? You can watch TV.
1080p.
Oh my god, go on. Continue.
Okay, here's one you like.
Yeah.
It has been confirmed that the original Nights in the Dreams is coming to the PS2, but so far only in Japan.
We better get it.
I just find this interesting, because not too long ago, I believe 1UP interviewed Yu Suzuki, who was the Nights guy, and he said, like, doing a port of the original Nights would be impossible. Because, like, I think it was like, a combination of the fact it was a Saturn game, and, like, a lot of the original code was lost.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Interesting.
So, I wonder if they're, like, rebuilding it. I mean, it's going to be improved graphics and stuff, so I wonder if this is going to be kind of like a Tomb Raider anniversary situation.
Yeah, you just informed me that I could play the original Nights on our Saturn right now if I wanted to.
you very well could. I have all the controllers, the cables, I got the whole thing. I even got Christmas nights.
Does it have an internal memory unit? I forget.
Yeah, and it might be dead.
So how am I going to save?
We have to go buy a CR2032 battery. I can't believe I remember that.
That's a little sad. All right.
And I'm going to let you go ahead. You were just telling me a Mario story. I'll let you cover it because you know more about it than I do.
I know a little bit more. I guess
it's not much, dude, but
Mario Galaxy is the fastest selling Mario in the U.S. I guess according, it sold 500,000 units in first week sales, which I guess is the best that's ever done.
That's a lot. And interestingly, it's struggling in Japan. I don't want to say struggling, but not performing where you'd expect. It's actually being outsold by Mario Party 8 on the Wii and even New Super Mario Brothers on the DS.
I didn't hear about that. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, some people are speculating that maybe because, like, you know, Japanese tend to be a little more traditional with their games. Maybe they just don't like the 3D Mario as much as, like, the 2D side-scrolling Mario.
Maybe. That's true. Japan's always been a little weird.
And the other theory is that because the Wii is such, like, a casual system, people are more drawn to a game that has something like Party in the title because most of these people are using the Wii when they have friends over.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not too concerned about the land where any new Gundam game is the number one selling game that week.
This is true.
Honestly. No offense, Japan.
And,
but I think you can attribute some of this to the fact that this was a hyped Mario game that wasn't a launch title, so there are a lot more Wiis out there than, say, Super Nintendo's when that first came out, you know? So it actually makes a lot of sense that for the first 5 weeks, this would be the best-selling Mario game. Because except for Mario 3, this was the first... And Sunshine, but I mean, you know, Sunshine didn't quite get a lot of love. This is like the first time a Mario game has not been like a launch title for a while.
True.
So, there you go. But still, it's doing very well, obviously.
It is. We'll go to Rock Band now. We'll talk about it more in our what we've been, our week in gaming, excuse me.
Jeez.
Presented by 401 Mania. On PS3, Rock Band. Although we had thought otherwise, it appears that the PS3 Guitar Hero 3 controllers, the Gibson Les Pauls, or I think that's what they are, they don't work with Rock Band. So it's kind of a bummer because the only way you were able to get two players going is if you have a friend who also has the game. He brings his Fender Strat over because they don't sell them independently yet.
Right.
Apparently, according to Harmonix, they claim that they develop on an open controller standard, and they say if you have any problems, you should contact the hardware manufacturers. It's out of their hands. So it's apparently Red Octane and Harmonix still bitter at each other.
Well, PS3 has a lot of problems. You heard about the orange box for the PS3, right?
Yeah, review copies have been, I don't know if they're reviews or just late preview copies have been making their way around various media publications, and reports have come in that, aside from Portal, which is fine, it's pretty much unplayable. Like, it cannot handle the outdoor areas and the vehicle sections at all, like single-digit frame rates. It's just a big, fat mess.
That's a bit of a shame.
It's a huge shame. And last but not least, your favorite topic of guitar game downloadable content.
Yeah.
Just a quick little mention out there. They, for Thanksgiving, Red Octane, Activision, whoever, put up the Halo theme music on Guitar Hero 3 for free. It's the Mjolnir mix.
At this point, it's not the Halo 3.
Well, that's not really guitarish. It's more piano and brass.
Make it. You can do it.
I guess. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Holiday kind of slowed things down a bit.
You know. Jeez. You might want to edit that out. That was kind of gross.
I will.
That burp was brought to you by 411 Mania. All right, let's go on to our week in gaming then, presented by 411 Mania.
All right.
Well, I guess we want to talk about Rock Band, right?
Oh, yay.
Oh, God. You go ahead.
Okay, suffice it to say, this game, in my personal opinion, blows Guitar Hero 3 out of the water. It's just one of the most fun things I've ever played.
Well, I will say that I played Guitar Hero 3 about once, so I've been playing a lot of Rock Band.
There's something so much more fun about getting three or four people playing that game when you got, you know, the drums and the guitars and everything working. It just has this great... I don't know. It's just fun. It's really kind of hard to describe. But like with the holiday, you know, we got a bunch of friends and family over who were playing it. I mean, our parents were voluntarily playing it with us. Yeah, that hasn't happened in a long time with a game.
It is a lot of fun. The set list is very solid.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love. There's like maybe four songs I don't like.
Yeah.
Compared to Guitar Hero 3, where I don't like 2/3 of them.
Yeah. What's your favorite song on the track list?
My favorite song is probably Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I also like Run to the Hills for obvious reasons.
Right.
But.
And I gotta say, too, with the game came the first wave of downloadable content, and it was presented in either artist packs or you could get everything as individual downloads, and I never bought a single piece of Guitar Hero 2 or 3 downloadable content. I thought it was a rip-off, and I hated the Force bundles, and I'm, like, all over this stuff. Between the three of us, we got the Police Pack, the Metallica Pack, Fortunate Son, and Jukebox Hero.
I'll tell you what, though. You can tell with these packs that they're not quite as concerned about, like the pacing, maybe, of the songs.
Well,
because, like,
what
the Metallica songs we downloaded, they're impossible.
What's that?
The Metallica songs we downloaded, they are, like, the hardest
they
songs.
They are hard.
And if they come up during our career mode, we're screwed. Because you have to play Expert now if you want any more fans.
True. But, like,
they're
the Police
hard.
Songs aren't as hard.
Okay.
So I guess it's just Metallica's hard.
But I think anything like Metallica, like, if there's going to be an Iron Maiden pack, I bet that'll be hard. But, I mean, you know, it's all good. I like making my own characters a lot of fun. I'm really excited about, like, making money and getting new stuff for him.
Yeah, it kind of goes under mention, but compared to the kind of, frankly, frightening character models in Guitar Hero 3, I'm really surprised by how good the graphics are in this game.
Yeah, that is
the
true.
Degree
yeah,
of customization is awesome, and I mean, just all the cool stuff that's going on in the background, like all the music video effects, and one of the coolest things in the game, I think, is when the crowd starts singing along.
Yeah,
that just feels nice. Really cool for some reason.
We have some hardware issues, though.
Yeah, that's kind of, for me, like some people have been complaining about, God, I don't even know what they're complaining about. Some people were complaining about the graphics, and other people about the lack of, like some songs are, you know, let's face it, some songs don't have a ton of to do with, like, the bass is a little boring, or maybe the singer doesn't have as much to do, but that's just, I mean, you're not going to have every song have all four equal. It just doesn't exist.
Right.
But, yeah, a lot of people are facing hardware issues. The most prevalent one, and this struck us pretty early, I mean, within 3-4 hours of play, is our Fender Strat will no longer register down strums, only up strums. They put out a patch that they claimed was going to fix this. It did for some people, but unfortunately not for us. So we sent away to EA for our replacement. And what they're doing, it's good they're doing it this way, is they'll send you the replacement, and then you mail back the broken one when you get it. And that way, it's just a lot quicker turnaround on it. And then, like, they keep your credit card on file. If you don't do it within a month, they charge you for the full price of the guitar plus, like, $20 stocking fee or something like that.
It is a bummer, though.
And then on our drum set, our yellow drum pad has become non-responsive because, like, Chris and I will be playing a song, and it's, like, a predominantly yellow pad rhythm, and we're, like, almost failing out. Then it'll switch to, like, a red-blue rhythm, and we have, like, a 4x multiplier going the whole time. So, I mean, there's definitely something wrong with that. So, again, we have that coming. I mean, it's kind of disconcerting that when you open the box for the game, the first thing you see is this bright pink paper with a big stop sign on it that says, if anything's wrong with your guitar, please don't take it back to the store. Call us. It's like, it says, like, our products have been extensively tested, but in the unlikely event that something's wrong, please go to this website.
Yeah, two out of the three things in our box.
I know, and I just can't. And not only are they broken, but within 3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, did they not test this at all?
I don't know. It is a bit concerning. I'm really a little worried if our new ones are going to work much
better.
Yeah,
seriously. And I did look. Someone took apart their guitar and showed what is happening as for why the downstrum's not registering. There's when you downstrum, it pushes down a metal contact, and they connect. And it's just like on like a piece of spring metal, so it pops back up. And mm-hmm. It's just that the spring metal's getting deformed, and it's not popping back up. I don't know why they don't just have it attached to the strum bar. So that, you know, you just move the strum bar down and up, and the thing comes and goes.
Right, right.
So, that's a bummer. But, I mean,
but I'm still enjoying
fortunately,
the game
we have two Explorers from Guitar Hero 2 and the Les Paul from 3. We just kind of get by with the drums, and so we've still been able
to really
play.
I can't really use the Les Paul. We keep using the Explorers.
I couldn't get it to sync with Chris's Xbox. It's working with mine, but I couldn't get it to sync with his Xbox. I only tried it the one time, just kind of didn't bother again.
All right, how about Mass Effect?
Oh, this game was made for me. I'm kind of convinced of that. Because I actually had one of my good friends who was home for Thanksgiving was playing it, and he loves Baldur's Gate and all the D&D games. He played all those when BioWare made them for the PC years ago. And so I was just playing it when he got here, and I told him, just let me wrap this up, and we'll go. And he said, oh, let me see this for a little bit. And then he wanted to play. And he absolutely loved all the RPG elements of it, but he couldn't get a grasp on the shooter controls. And then so I'm trying to help him through it, and he kind of faked his way through. But like he said, like, I love this game, but I'd never be able to play it. But it's like the coolest game I've ever seen. So I'm just wondering, I think like this game's biggest weakness is like shooter fans will be put off by the RPG elements, and RPG fans will be put off by the shooter elements. But for someone like me who likes both genres, this game's awesome.
Well, no, wait, I want to argue there, because I love the RPG elements in the game. And I played more of it than I thought I would, actually. I was getting into it more than I thought I would. But and I'm a shooter fan, but I really don't... I'm not a big fan of the shooter elements in this
game. Why is that?
Because it's just like a... As a shooter game, it's not a great shooter game.
Well, you have to... You can't play with the frame of mind that you're playing, like, Ghost Recon. Because even though you're aiming and shooting and all this, it's still dice rolls going on in the background that are determining, yes, you're going to hit this guy, no, you're not. Aim has little to do with it. And when you kind of keep that in mind as you're playing, it helps it go a lot better. It also gets much better once you get more of the biotic abilities. Because I got this one fight early on, and I think I actually wasn't supposed to be at this place I was at, so that's why it took me a while. But like, I could not win this fight. I was trying everything and everything until finally I just got lucky and won it. But now that I've got like more of my biotic powers where I could like put one guy in stasis and have another guy float up in the air while I shoot at him and push over two other guys.
Well, there's a long cooldown in all those powers though.
Well, then you get the
you have
the
one
adrenaline
ability
that gives it all back. And I even got a lot of those abilities to their advanced state, so the cooldown's a lot shorter.
But there's this kind of half-hearted cover system in the game. It doesn't work really
Ghost Recon's cover system, where instead of pushing a button to activate cover, you just kind of walk into it and then you stick to the wall. And I think because I played Ghost Recon, I'm kind of used to it. I could see where your first exposure to cover system was Gears, and continue again like in games like Drake. And I think if that's what you're used to, then you don't like this, but since like I was playing Ghost Recon, that was really my first use of cover system. It's not bothering me that much. Mm-hmm. But I gotta say, the interactive dialogue system that they've been touting works as advertised. It's awesome.
I absolutely love that stuff. I mean, I love exploring. There's so much about the game I enjoy, but then there's always a little something to annoy me. I mean, just recently, like, the game, up until, like, a certain point, was auto-saving for me, like, all the time. For any big fight I had, it would auto-save. So I never felt the need to save very much on my own. And then I did, like, about 45 minutes worth of gaming, and I died and sent me back all the way 45 minutes ago. I mean, that's the kind of thing that, like, I won't play that game
right.
for a while now.
That happens to me, too, in a game. I learned to save early and often. But one thing that sucks is it limits the number of saves you can have. Yeah, because I was playing. I don't know how many saves I was up to exactly, because I overwrote a few times. Like, the number didn't match how many were actually there. And I noticed there was no option for a new save. And then I deleted some saves, and it came up. And that's just I'm not out of hard drive space. I have, like, 4 gigabytes. But it just kind of upsets me, because, for one, I mean, in Knights of the Old Republic, I had hundreds of save files. I just liked having them. But what this game does, and it's not one of the more well-known features of the game, is you can... Let's say you play through the game once, you've got all your save points, and then you create a new character. You can load up your old save files and then import a new character to those situations. So let's just say you did like a really cool fight with your straight-up biotic character, and then you want to see how you would have done in that same fight with your straight-up combat character. You can do that. Or if you want to see how your Paragon would have reacted to the situation you just did with your Renegade, you could just load in the different characters.
It's kind of strange.
It's kind of designed that, I mean, for people who want to not necessarily have to play through the game again, but they're going to because they want to see the characters in these new situations. It just gives them a quicker way of doing that. Like I said, not a lot of people actually know about that feature. And I haven't tried it yet because I'm still in my first playthrough, so I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Another thing I'm concerned about right now is that Shepard gets a lot of character development, but I hope your sort of psychic characters will get some too down the line.
I have no reason to doubt they won't, because I mean, I hope so. The characters in KOTOR were excellently developed. And
like, name the male soldier Cade. Guy who's with
Cade.
What? I can't remember him. I was surprised he lived, because I'm like, I never heard of this guy before. Right.
Well, it's funny because the guy who does his voice is the same guy who was Karth in Knights of the Old Republic. So I'm kind of already endeared to him because I really like Karth a lot.
Was Karth the Mandalorian?
No, he was the guy in the beginning, the first guy, the general or whatever he was.
Yeah, right. I remember Karth now. But I like it a lot. Oh, I like the RPG elements a lot. The shooter elements I'm not so sold on. But that's where I stand on that game. What, do you ever play anything else?
Let's see. I just pulled out Guitar Hero 3 just to play the Halo theme, and I tried the, like, doubling down the Georgia download pack thing that came out, like, a few weeks ago, because I hadn't done that yet, and realized it wasn't as good as Rock Band and stopped.
I played more Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
It's fun. It is getting a little bit repetitive.
I just played little bits of it this week, because I've been playing all the other stuff, but...
I mean, it doesn't even get much harder, really? Either. And, I mean, for a while, whenever you beat a mission, you got, like, your abilities, like, a new ability or a new thing. Well, after a while, it's,
you're
like,
already there.
Extra sword damage or something. Yeah, you know, but...
So it actually gets easier.
Right. But, I don't know. I wasn't... I mean, I still like it. I'm about 2 kills away from beating it. So I'll get to that.
I mean, I like the story of that game, so I at least want to see where it goes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little fried right now. There's been a lot of games. I haven't been able to play Final Fantasy.
Oh, it's just crazy.
I like to get back to that. Yeah, it has been
one
crazy.
Thing I know you and Chris played, I'm going to play maybe later tonight, was you got your 1,000 gamer points in Avatar, right?
Oh, yeah. I got Avatar Last Airbender. Well, Chris rented it. Because he's an achievement.
To give the backstory is apparently people found out that Avatar, The Last Airbender, whatever the new one that's got a subtitle for the 360, it's... The achievements are based on how big you could get a combo going, and literally in the beginning of the game, you just stand in this one spot and just keep tapping B for 2 minutes, and you'll get, like, a combo big enough for 1,000 gamer score.
Yeah. It's not hard at all. It took me less than
a minute. Play any more of the game?
No.
You just got your achievement, turned it off?
Yeah. Then I put Assassin's Creed in.
Very nice.
Yeah. I mean, humorous. I kind of wonder what went through their heads.
Maybe they figured that would be... They knew they had some crappy game, and that'd be a way to get people to buy it, but I think they made it too easy, so now people are just going to rent it.
They still get money from that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, whatever, maybe. Interesting sales philosophy.
I wonder if Microsoft, in wake of this, will put some regulations on how gamer score is distributed.
Nah, I don't think they care. That's why we do another contest, and they haven't made any indication of that. You got anything else?
I think that's it, really. I just like Rock Band. Just so much time I've spent playing that since it came out. It's kind of sick.
What's your favorite? What do you like doing best in Rock Band?
I really like playing the drums. I'm just not as good at it yet. Although I finally am getting the hang of the bass pedal, and also, like I said, it sucks that our drum's broken because I'm failing out of a lot of songs, and when I feel like I'm doing the rhythm perfectly. But I mean, I love playing the guitar still. I like the way that they indicate what's a hammer on and a pull off better in the game.
I never even knew that the other games indicated.
It's so hard to see because you just have to look for the white circle instead of a black outline circle. And like in the PS2 version, it was impossible. With that 360 in high def, it's a little easier to see it. But this one, it's just the bars are shorter; they don't take up the entire width of the column, so it's a lot easier to see that. And one thing I miss though. Like, this was my favorite thing on the guitar, and since our Stratocaster is broken, was coming down to the bottom of the neck for the solos. Because not only was it fun, but it made them a lot easier, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully, ours should be in, like, Tuesday or Wednesday, our replacement, I'm hoping.
We forgot to do the best ever, by the way.
I thought so. I can never remember what comes first, so we'll do that next.
Me too. So, we're going to do the best ever now. Best ever presented by 411 Mania.
Try to sound a little excited when you say that. Excited, you know, the best ever. Presented by 411
Mania.
Yeah,
I'm blocking some energy today.
Well, because you just woke up an hour ago.
It's true. Yeah, the best ever. Woo. Oh, God, that was sad. Okay. Look, it's the best Xbox Live arcade game yet, ever. What do you think
Pretty good. Would you like to start, or shall I?
Well, I'm just thinking out loud here. What? One of my media favorites that comes to mind is that Alien Hominid HD. That was a game I never got to play before.
Yeah, I played like the Flash version of it, and recognized as a pretty good Metal Slug kind of clone.
But I really got into it on 360. I played through the whole thing, got a lot of the achievements. That was a really fun game. I mean, you know, it's Contra-ish, a lot of fun multiplayer.
Nice graphics. And
it were nice graphics. Good humor. Even had some nice mini games. Had like all these PDA things. It was a pretty good package.
Like, the one you're trying to fly the nuke from Russia to America, and when you do it, it goes owned.
Oh, I had to do that. You get an achievement for doing so good at that one. Right. It took me forever, but I got it. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to Castle Crashers whenever that comes
guys.
Out. 2008. What about you?
I think we should, of course, mention Geometry Wars.
I guess so. I never seemed to have liked the Geometry Wars nearly as much.
Especially when it first came out,
I played
a ton of it. I never got so good at it where I was like playing for like 4 hours without dying like some of these people do, but I got like my achievement for surviving the first minute without dying and things like that. And I mean, it was a good game to say like because everyone knew Xbox Live Arcade was going to have the kind of retro classics, but we didn't really know what to expect from the more indie games. And it was a good game to say like this is the kind of stuff we're going to put out. Like it's small experiences, but it's good stuff. I think it's just set a good precedent for the whole platform.
You know, did you see that thing real quick? Did you play Space Giraffe?
Yeah. I was going to bring that up because I think Space Giraffe is not a bad game, but it's kind of unremarkable. Like it's basically Geometry Wars, but you can only move left and right and you could jump. But good, you want to tell us?
Well, who's the guy who made that?
Jeff Minter.
He made Space Giraffe, and I guess, you know, in the weekly sales or whatever sales they did, they get for downloads for Xbox Live Arcade games, Frogger outsold Space Giraffe.
Like 4-1.
Yeah,
and
he just got
just
PO'd.
Threw his hissy fit.
Yeah, he went on his blog and was like, I don't even know why I make games anymore. You people want to buy Frogger, one of the worst old arcade games ever, instead of new stuff. He got mad.
I mean, here's the thing. I think he went too far with that game. Like, it's so hard to even see what's going on. He's like saying, "Oh, you have to also use your, you know, all your other senses, like sound, to know what's going on." I prefer to avoid epilepsy. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's a weird game. I think he's definitely that game's biggest fan.
Yeah,
I think
to him
it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. To everyone else, it's just a little confusing. But I mean, he followed it up with another post, kind of saying he overreacted a little.
Yeah,
but
like,
he's still very bitter.
He won't talk about like game development on his blog anymore.
That's exactly what. Was it Jaffe then who did that about something with
Yeah, Jaffe got pissed about something too.
I don't even remember now. Who cares? I hate how we have like Rockstar game development.
Yeah,
now.
Like they. It kind of started with people like America McGee and what was that chick's name? Steve something, and Cliff Pazinski, and he's the only one who's even still around of that group. I mean, I guess American McGee kind of is, but he's not that popular. But then, like, for every jerk like those guys, you do have, like, Gabe Newell from Valve and, you know, Miyamoto.
Oh, yeah. He's very popular, but he's not crazy.
Right.
You know, he's very much behind the corporate line.
Mm-hmm. And then you got two, who's the Dead or Alive guy? Igarashi's the Castlevania guy. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He's weird too.
Yeah.
But we should get back to this.
Yeah, anyway.
All right. Anyways, for some more retro games, I really enjoyed Mortal Kombat 3. Mortal Kombat 3. Which worked online really well. As did Street Fighter, actually. Mm-hmm. But I liked Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 a good bit more. Those fatalities were fun. That was always my favorite Mortal Kombat game.
The only problem with that is it was the arcade port, so it had that kind of cheap AI to it that was basically designed to steal your quarters.
Yeah, it was hard.
So, I mean, playing a multiplayer was great, but if you wanted to just play it by yourself, that and Street Fighter because they're the arcade ports, weren't really good for that.
Yeah, they were very, very hard. Symphony of the Night was another.
Symphony of the Night was fantastic. Yeah. That was kind of like the, kind of unexpected, really, that they would take like an entire PS1 game and not only get it up there, but under 50 megabytes.
It had a bug, though, where I want to say like 1 out of 20 times, when you went to like the your inventory menu or just like the menu, the game would freeze.
Really?
They never fixed it.
I never encountered that.
Oh, it happened to me all the time. Huh. You didn't play as much as I did.
No, I didn't play a ton of it.
But that was a bit of a bitter point.
We also had, which remains one of the still the most popular games on the service, is Uno.
Yeah, Uno's fun.
Which is surprisingly engaging. I mean, you think it's just Uno, but it's just done really, really well.
I liked like the two kind of board games they brought out. Not like Scrabble, but like those tabletop board games.
Oh, Catan and
Carcassonne.
Carcassonne.
I really enjoy playing those games.
Catan, I still, to this day, will pick it up every so often, but in my prime with that game, I was playing it 3-4 hours a day. Mm. I was hardcore addicted to it.
I enjoy those games a lot. Which one do you like better, Catan or Carcassonne?
Catan.
I really like Carcassonne a little more.
Carcassonne's a little more quicker and more casual.
It is.
And the nice thing about it is because you don't have like a specific hand, you can have multiple people playing on one box.
Yeah.
Catan you need to do online because you have your hand of cards.
True. Got another one for us?
Let's see.
You're forgetting one of your favorites, I know.
I am.
Pac-Man CE.
Oh, yeah. That was... That's the way you modernize a retro game because, I mean, everyone respects Pac-Man for what it did and everything, but really when you play it now, it's a little boring. But this really just took that Pac-Man formula and just kicked it to 11. I mean, that game is fun, and the music is fantastic in it.
Yeah, I never played as much as you did, but I think it's neat.
I had a good time with that game.
Anything else you want to bring up?
If there's anything big and neglected. I know Chris is a big fan of E4, Every Extend Extra Extreme.
Right, yeah, that's fun. Worms is kind of neat. Little gimped version of Worms, though.
I got Lumines. That's, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I know you never cared for it. I always liked Lumines. It's a solid version of the game.
Oh, yeah. I've never been a big Lumines fan. But, I mean, I have my favorite if you have yours.
I got mine.
All right. My best Xbox Live arcade game ever is Alien Hominid HD. The best of the Contra-style games on there. Super Contra is quite fun because it's retro, but Alien Hominid is a little bit more forgiving. I think it has more interesting level design, a lot of fun bosses. It's a really fun game.
My favorite Xbox Live arcade game, or excuse me, the best Xbox Live arcade game ever, brought to you by 411 Mania, so far, is Catan.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with Pac-Man. Actually.
Nope, Catan.
That's good.
I also recommend that if you get tired of the music that comes with Catan, put in the Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End soundtrack and play
while
you're playing the game.
Soundtrack. So, you know.
So, yeah. So, speaking of Xbox Live arcade games, should I do the downloads?
Yeah.
Oh,
how
was that segue? That was great.
I know. I want to apologize for not playing Final Fantasy, though.
Oh, no adventures. This is the first time I don't drop that sound bite in there.
Ooh,
did you even listen to last week's show after we put it up?
Why?
I sped it up. Because, like, you only play the game for, like, 5 minutes. So it's just...
No, I didn't. I try to listen sometimes.
It's good
you
fun.
Know how it is. I really want to get to it. It's just... I mean, I did play through the parts of 9 I'm at before. And it's just, you know, all this new exciting stuff. I gotta get to it, because I gotta beat this whole... I gotta beat 9 and 10 before the new year. I will.
He must. Okay.
Go ahead, though.
So I'll do the downs. Well, we already did this week's Wii games last week.
All right. You say that with, like, such content.
I know, because I
like,
didn't want to.
Like, it was a bad idea. What else were we supposed to do?
I don't know. I could have just saved them for today. So
why?
Never
then,
mind.
Then we'll, every time we're going to talk about last time's Wii games, dumb.
Well, that's kind of the idea.
You just go.
Anyway, Xbox Live Arcade saw a game called Undertow, which I did not get around to playing yet, but...
Probably not the best Xbox Live Arcade game
What
ever.
I understand of it is it uses the Unreal 3 engine. It's this kind of underwater fantasy setting where you're either like these scuba diver guys or these mer people, I think. And I think it basically plays as like a twin stick shooter. But you're like controlling these divers underwater. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. The PSN. First of all, we got two new games that take advantage of the PlayStation I. One called Operation Creature Feature that goes for $4.99, and Aquatopia goes for $1.99. I know nothing about these games. And it's also worth mentioning that until November 29th, as a sale, You can get Calling All Cars, Flow, Pixel Junk Racers, and Everyday Shooter for $4.99.
That's not bad.
I plan on picking up Everyday Shooter.
That's good.
And GameTap did their releases early before Thanksgiving. We got Infernal, which they put as a new release, but it was actually already on there. So I don't know why they said it was a new release.
Conspiracy.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
A game called Football Deluxe for the PC that it's football being soccer. It's one of those, you're the manager and coach of the team, and here's a bunch of spreadsheets.
EA used to have one of those games they bring out every year.
They did the NFL head coach with Bill Cowher on the cover.
Yeah.
It was basically like playing Madden, but you can get to play. Yeah. This is a little different. The last one being Space Empires 5, which is one of those kind of space, either...
No kidding.
Go out and kill everything or win by diplomacy, like the turn-based strategies, I think.
Okay.
You also get Space Empires 3 and 4 that are on the service. And it bears mentioning that in their weekly free rotation, Psychonauts is available to play for free if you're a silver member to GameTap.
Very nice. So, are you a silver member? Are you a silver member?
I'm silver right now. I didn't switch over my subscription once after I switched banks when I moved.
Right.
And, I mean, there's no reason to play it now because I'm playing so much other stuff that I'm not going to use it much. But once things slow down, I'll start it back up and play Sam and Max and Civilization 4.
Right. All right, I'll bring up the weekly game releases.
All right, what do we got? What could we possibly have after the last 2 weeks?
It's not going to be as exciting, I think. You got Game Party for the Wii. That's a generic name. Game Party. You know, it's a mini game collection. Darts, table hockey. Sounds like a bad Wii play.
Yeah.
There's that. Shadowgrounds Survivor for the PC, December 1st.
No idea.
Three survivors team up with the human resistance to defend the world against an alien onslaught. I think we need to start banning alien invasions from video
games. Yeah, they're getting a little overdone.
Listen to this. History Channel, Battle for the Pacific, Wii and Xbox 360, November 27th. Have you heard about this?
No, but they did it. The History Channel made a World War One game that my one roommate seemed to really like.
Really? I didn't know the History Channel got into the lucrative games business. Geometry Wars Galaxies, DS, November 27th.
I heard it's pretty good.
Yeah, let's see. Boogie, DS, November 27th.
That game's supposed to be terrible.
Yeah, people do not enjoy Boogie so much. Omega 5, Xbox 360, November 2007. You probably just talked about this, didn't you?
Omega 5? No. What is it?
Yeah, it looks like a Xbox Live arcade game. Side-scrolling shooter. We'll have enemies attacking you from all angles, so look sharp.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Master of Illusion, DS. Learn a variety of magic and card tricks that incorporate your DS into the ad.
Yeah, it actually sounds pretty neat. It came out in Japan. I'm kind of surprised they brought it here.
Cruisin', Wii, November 27th.
Cruisin'?
Is this like the Cruisin' USA games?
Oh, is this that crappy game like everyone shows the screenshots of and it looks like a Nintendo 64 game?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cranium Kabuki, Wii, November 27th. I guess it's a Cranium game.
Huh.
Speedball 2 Tournament, PC, November 27th. Speedball. Puzzle Quest, Challenge of the Warlords, Wii, November 29th.
Ooh. I mean, that's on Xbox Live Arcade.
I like how they've been releasing this for every platform because imaginable, that game but never at the same time.
It was an absolute sleeper hit, and they've literally been trying to catch up with demand.
Chicken Hunter, DS, November 30th.
Interesting.
On chickens. Disney Princess, Enchanted Journey for the PC, November 27th.
That sounds lovely.
You know, I bet it'll be fun. The Turtles Madcap Misadventures Starlight Starbright Charity Challenge for the PC.
Did you say Turtles?
The Tuttles.
Oh, they said Turtles.
I thought it was Turtles.
Oh, that would be cool. 26.
This game chronicles the family's wacky road trip. It features celebrity voices and supports the Starlight Starbright Children's Foundation.
Who are the Tuttles?
I have no idea. It looks weird. And then Tomb Raider Anniversary for mobile, December 1st.
Goody. Yeah, Tomb Raider Anniversary, actually, I guess I should have mentioned this with downloads, but if you have Tomb Raider Legends and you didn't pick up Tomb Raider Anniversary in the 360 for retail, you can download it in two $15 chunks on your hard drive, but it takes up like 4 gigabytes or something. But it's $10 cheaper than buying it at retail, so.
Wasn't a very exciting week of releases, huh?
Nah, I think it seems like we got the bulk of our holiday releases out. Like, I mean, what's still coming? Like in the next month.
I don't even know. We were supposed to have Smash Brothers, but that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Honestly, like, I can't think of it. Like, I could really think of nothing else coming out that I want to get.
All right. I'm going to talk about what new stuff we have on 411 Mania real quick. We have, you know, my column, the full circle of the news, Nintendo Files, Nintendo Week Review, Six Axis, Sony Week Review. The 10th Hour, which is a column by Derek Robbins, did an article on the top 10 most overrated games. You want to go through these real quick?
Oh, yeah. Let's see what he has, and we'll talk about it.
I don't think you're going to like this list, actually, at all.
Oh, let's see if I agree and disagree.
Number 10, Sonic CD.
Oh, no! That game's awesome!
He says it is not the best Sonic game, and that's his problem with it.
Now,
this isn't worst game. This is overrated.
I don't think it's overrated. I think it's perfectly rated.
You think it's the best Sonic game?
It's not, but I don't say it is.
And most people do, though.
I think it's fantastic.
And I thought you said it was the best Sonic game. I thought you...
No, I've always said the best is Sonic 3 with Sonic and Knuckles locked on.
That's what he says. I think that's his problem. Also, he's not a big fan of the anime cutscenes.
Oh, those are awesome.
I don't think he was a big fan of time travel either.
That was also awesome.
He says Sonic CD is good, but to call it the best Sonic game is to turn a blind eye to a lot of quality titles.
Like what, Sonic Adventure 2?
No, like Sonic 3. I don't know. Lay off. GoldenEye 007.
Agreed.
You know what? I agree with him, too, because people still talk like, oh, I love GoldenEye. And everyone talks about how much they love GoldenEye.
GoldenEye was Doom. It was. It was just Doom for the masses. There was no jumping. There was no looking up and down. Although, I saw this really funny video online of some guys who did a live-action version of GoldenEye, like the game. Like, they ran in place with, like, the same crappy animations, and they did all the stupid AI stuff. And when you see actual people doing it, it looks like... really, really bad.
I agree with him, but I don't like his reasoning. He says it's because Perfect Dark does everything GoldenEye does, but better.
Yeah, like make me motion sick.
Yeah, I hated Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark was terrible.
I didn't like it at all. That was just a game that was literally crippled by.
But, I mean, the biggest reason people are so fondly remember GoldenEye is that was really the first time we had a multiplayer shooter on a console. That was the first time split-screen multiplayer in a shooter worked.
Yeah, I know it's popular.
And yeah, I mean, I had fun playing GoldenEye, you know, with three of my friends. But, like, meanwhile, I was playing, you know, like, Quake 2 on my PC, and that was far better.
All right, number 8, the Mortal Kombat series.
I can understand where you I can understand that.
As a fighting game series, it's really not...
If it wasn't so bloody and gross, and like, the first time around, it would have gotten no attention whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, it's still fun, but it's no Street Fighter. Mario Kart 64, number 7. I didn't know.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know if it's really rated that high.
No, it's really not. I mean, most people
would pass it over. It's not a great Mario Kart 64. I can understand where
you're
going.
But, I mean, again, that one was the first time. Again, we had the four players in Mario Kart.
Yeah, but I will agree it's my least favorite of the Mario Karts. Number 6 is Sims franchise.
What?
The Sims franchise.
Sims.
You know.
Yeah, I would definitely go say that's true. I mean, that game toppled Myst is the best-selling PC game ever, and that's not right.
I'm going to disagree with him here. The Harvest Moon franchise.
Those games are fun.
Well, you better play. I like Harvest Moon.
And I don't think they're that highly regarded.
Well, I think it's the case where he knows a lot of people. He says that he feels like he's the only person out there who doesn't like Harvest Moon.
Hmm.
He says, what's so fun about working and doing the same thing every day?
Has he ever played an MMORPG?
Maybe not. Maybe.
What's this guy's name? Derek?
Let me see. Yeah,
Derek if you play MMORPGs, let me know.
Madden, after EA Sports bought the exclusive rights to the NFL.
Oh, 100% true. It's still not as good as ESPN 2K5 was on the Xbox.
Animal Crossing, number 3. I mean, if you know what, if you didn't like Harvest Moon, I can see where
it's
going.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same game.
Final Fantasy VII for the PS1, number 2. This is a popular choice for overrated games.
Yeah, because, I mean, the game didn't do anything too groundbreaking to people who've been playing RPGs for a while. It just somehow, because of its graphics mostly, became very mainstream.
I'll tell you what, I played not too long ago. I can't disagree. I like 7.
Yeah, it's good.
I can see why it became the huge smash hit that it was. It played up to the masses really well. And it was a very solid RPG. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people say, oh, there's so many RPGs that do what Final Fantasy 7 did. But I would argue that 7 does it better than, by far, most.
Right.
Number 1. Ooh, I like this, the Halo franchise.
Hey. I, it, it can be very overrated, especially, I think, Halo 3.
It's incredibly overrated.
Because, I mean, Halo 3 is a good game, but it really doesn't do anything that groundbreakingly different from Halo 2.
I mean, look at this. I mean, he has a picture right here of the Halo 3 combo from Burger King, you know? I mean...
Yeah, that got a little over-marketed. Although some people were really disappointed how the ending of Halo 3 was basically an homage to the ending of Halo 1. But I really like that, because that was my favorite part of Halo 1.
I don't know. I never beat Halo 3. I've never really been into Halo. Which
do you care if I tell you what the end's like?
No.
You didn't remember, okay, so remember I had you do the Warthog ride over the...
Yeah, I know about that.
It's you do Warthog. You do a Warthog ride over the exploding, whatever the thing is called, the arc or whatever. Like the entire, like, it's not a planet, but the planetary structure or whatever is blowing up and you're driving over it. But right. You're driving and the Arbiter's in the back gunning. I thought it was fun because I liked that part in the first game.
Yeah, whatever.
Can't disagree too much with that list. I think Sonic CD, that hurts me a bit.
The Wonder Years by Owain Brimfield. Owain, I know that's an uncommon first name. I'm not even saying it right. But he looks back at classic games. He looks at Secret of Mana.
That's one I missed, but interestingly, isn't that like one of Jeremy Soule's first composing jobs in gaming?
Was it? I don't know.
Or was it the Secret of Evermore? I always mix those up.
I think it's Secret of Evermore, because Secret of Mana, you know, is a Square game. Why would he do the music for that? working title, it's a calm. Games that I'm grateful for. Jordan Williams. I looked at it. It's worth looking at. He talked about 5 games. It's pretty good. Hall of Shame, Superman 64, written by Vincent... Chew.
Oh, we still can't say that name.
No.
Vincent, send us a voice clip of how to say your name.
Yeah.
We'll get it right next time we bring you up in the show. It just drops.
The fact or fiction, we're talking about Assassin's Creed, the next Zelda game, the Mass Effect lesbian scene, you know, all that stuff. And that's about what we got going on around 4-1-1 this week. All right. I'm going to have to add that into the rotation at the end.
Yeah,
of the
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was fun stuff. Fun stuff. And it lengthened our podcast a little bit. So, have you warmed up to my idea at all for...
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna leave this to you, the listeners.
We might not get any feedback.
And if we don't, that means we don't have to do it.
Oh.
Mike had this, what he claimed to be, best idea ever a little while ago, where he said we should do an entire episode where we sing the whole thing.
Yes, I want to sing a podcast.
Like, literally, like you know, you go to church and, like, they kind of sing some Bible verse? He wants to do that.
It'd be better than that.
So, I said...
I want to do an entire episode of the podcast in song.
I said I would only do it if we get... we're going to put up a poll on our blog.
Maybe poll. Just send me some feedback. Tokoto@gmail.com. Go to the website if you need to. Go to the blog. You can find my email address if you can't figure out how to spell that. Just send me some sort of feedback saying, yeah, it's a good idea, and it'll happen.
If we get enough people relative to our audience, I'll begrudgingly do it.
I'm telling you, it'll be fantastic.
Uh-huh. So you guys let us know if you want to hear us sing an entire hour-long podcast.
Beautiful. All right. I guess that wraps it up for this week.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think I can finally get the Final Fantasy next week. Hopefully.
I hope to get a lot more Mass Effect on it.
I know I'll be playing more Rock Band. I've got a friend coming over to play it. But, alright. I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving and everything. Go to our blog at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. Don't forget to check out 411mania.com/games. You can read my column in full circle there, along with a bunch of other columns. We'll be back next Monday, doing the same thing again, you know, and maybe the Monday after that, and the Monday after that.
Until we die.
No, but for a while. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next year. Here at the Exploding Barrel Podcast, brought to you by Full Media.